Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Come on, give it up for the team. Give it up for our online campus around the world. Today, my lovely assistant, Nicole, and I will be talking about communication, the S word, and money. So if you got little kids in here and you don't want them to talk about the S word, it's a good time to take them to Faith Kids. If you're like me and you think kids that are 12 years old probably know more about the S word than you, then just leave them here, all right?
This is your official PG-13 warning.
Communication, sex, and money. You know, the Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So oftentimes the divorce rates in the church are the same as the world because the church refuses to talk about, gets uncomfortable with this word called sex. And God created sex. In the very beginning, he created man and woman, and he told the man, be fruitful and multiply. And ever since then, a guy's been looking to bow, chicka, wow, wow.
It's true. It's a command. Everybody said, I've been commanded. Oh, they're nervous. Say, I've been commanded. God gave us a command to go and do this thing. And you know what? Adam knew it right from the beginning because God created Adam. Adam gave up his rib to create a woman. God said, name her. And Adam said, whoa, man. Mm-hmm. So from the very beginning, God wanted our relationships to be fruitful. And sex is a fruitful part of relationships.
And so that's messed up because this thing called communication. Now, a lot of guys, by the way, are just kind of nonverbal. I mean, it's okay. I communicate for a living. That's what I do. I talk. And obviously, I was able to talk because I talked her into marrying me, right? So I am a communicator. Some guys aren't. But today we're going to try to encourage you to help you to communicate a little more verbally. But also, the guys that are communicators, like myself, let's not get lazy when we get home. Seeing and coach some of the greatest people in America who are great closers, man. They are awesome on the sales floor. Then they get home, and that's the place where they just grunt. They can't even formulate a sentence anymore. Anybody ever been there? And so home is not the place where we go to stop being nice. It's the place that we learn to communicate.
And communication, there's two parts of communication. Everybody say two parts. The first part is talking. Talking is easy for some people. It's harder for other people, guys or girls. Some people are just a little bit shy. Some people, the words, they come in our head, but when it comes to trying to get those words out of our mouth, we just can't figure out how to say what we mean out loud. And then the other part of communication is actually even harder than trying to get the words out. The other part is listening. And by listening, I don't mean while you talk, I'm going to totally be thinking about what I'm going to say next. Because if he pulls out this card about that thing, oh, this is totally what I'm going to say. And oh, I got that one thing that he did in my back pocket. I'm going to whip that out and make my point. I'm sorry, what did you say? Oh, it's my turn to talk now. We don't hear anything that they're saying when we are formulating our answers that we started while we were in the shower by ourselves. You ever had those conversations in the shower, nobody else is there, you just go ahead and rehearse the whole thing? They lie in church.
No. And oftentimes it's because we're offended. The Bible said this, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a walled city. So we put these walls in between each other because we get hurt, and hurt people do what?
Hurt people.
So if you're hurt, you're dealing with this emotion and this he-motion of, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I was reading a magazine this last week, and it said if we could wait 6 minutes, just 6 minutes, most of the things that we were going to do, that vice, that pornography, that addiction, that I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. If we could somehow wait 10 minutes, the feeling fades after 6 minutes. But if you're like me, you're like, I'm worried that feeling's going to fade and they need to be told right now. I need to bust a cap in somebody right now because this is the way I was raised. I'm Irish. I'm this, I'm that. No. It's our flesh. And so we build these walls, which ultimately affects the communication, affects the sex and the money down the road.
Well, in the Bible, it says that a brother offended is harder to win than a walled city. So, I mean, get in your head about those movies. They have Heath Ledger in them. The guys are knights. They got the swords. They come up to the castle and there's these huge walls. Well, how are those walls built? Those walls were built one stone at a time. One angry word at a time, one emotional outburst at a time, one I'm not going to forgive you for that at a time. And what ends up happening is we build these walls that are so big, there's no way that we can get through them anymore. So if we can't get through the wall, we turn the other way and we start looking for things to meet our needs on the other side of the wall, at work, at at school and in the workplace, in our activities, we start looking outside the marriage and we get to thinking that, hey, you know what? I think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But what we don't know is the grass grown over there is actually grown on a septic tank. And you don't really want any of that.
And that communication thing causes a woman a lot of times to be hurt. Then she starts scooting all the way over on the other side of the bed, right? If you ever notice that your woman is so close to the edge of the bed that she could fall off, and there's not a chance in the world of you touching her shaved or non-shaved leg, you've done something wrong, guys, right? She's communicating in a non-verbal way, you've shut me down. What's wrong, honey? Nothing. If she says nothing's wrong, you're 2 weeks away from being served by a judge. This divorce. Divorce, that word is just divorce. Your division. You're dividing. A house divided cannot stand. So we come to the church. We get involved in iConnect groups. We put God first. We get knowledge that gives us power. And ultimately what it does is it stops the nonsense. Really? It stops a lot of pride. I think the biggest problem that I have in my life is pride. Well, you're not going to talk to me that way because what? Pride? No, they're not going to. I'm an American. I won't be pride. Our pride keeps us back. And pride has to have the last word. We all got that stupid plaque and hung it up in the house somewhere, maybe in one of the guest bedrooms, and it said something like 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love's not puffed up. Love doesn't insist on its own way. God's love never fails. How many of y'all are familiar with that little line right there? Well, it's true, though. Ultimately, God's love doesn't fail. Now, we kind of fall in love. You know, we're just walking down the road and we see her. Woo! We fell in love. Then we fall out of love. That's not real love. That's really a feeling. Real love, God's love, never fails. So real love says, Nicole, I'm not going to make that comment. Like the other day, we were talking and I think it was something. It was just a casual conversation. She didn't know she was hurting my feelings. But there's a bunch of young bucks around us, you know, and I try to stay as current as I can, but she thought that my hair needed to be really, really short, like in here, like really short like these guys. Why don't you? And she's messing with my hair. While she's messing with my hair, I'm looking at her hair going, if you had a mirror right now.
Oh.
I'm just talking about the real deal of what's going on. I'm being Christian-like. I'm not saying anything. She goes, oh, no, you need to. Well, it was hurting my feelings because, one, it was embarrassing me, but I need to know that's pride. Just shut up. Because ultimately, I can't shave my hair down too much because I have a scar from here all the way to here where Hans Wyman slit me open and paid $9,000 to put all this hair on my hair. This is my hair. I paid for this hair, but it wasn't free, and it cost me a scar. Some of y'all freaking out right now. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. As I get more money, I'm going to look awesome. But she didn't know she was hurting my feelings. She would have never done that. But I noticed I'm getting aggravated. I'm wanting to say something. Mm-hmm. That's pride. The best way to diffuse an argument is never engage in the argument. Leave it alone. Communicate on the things that are important to you and allow, because I'm sure I'd done 10 million things earlier to her that were way beyond that. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down right now? It's just foolishness.
Well, in Ephesians 4:26, it says, be angry and sin not. What that means is you can be angry. Being angry isn't a sin. But when you are angry, don't sin. When you are angry, the Bible says, and James, he says to bridle the tongue. He says, this thing right here, it can steer ships. This thing right here, it can sink ships. This thing right here, it can sink our marriage. It can sink our relationships. So we have to control this even though we're angry. And so here is one of the things that we've read about communication. When we communicate, never communicate when you're emotional. And we know when we're emotional, we just don't always admit it to ourselves when we're mad. But I can show you right now. People will come up to you and they'll tell you something. Oh, you're ugly, you're fat, you're stupid, whatever. Somebody tells you something like that and you just look at them and think you're stupid and you just keep going on with your day. But somebody makes that same comment about your child. See, did you hear that? Oh, no, you did not just say my kid was ugly, stupid, fat, lazy, or whatever you just said. My child is the most talented thing you have ever seen, and you just said that because you're jealous.
Yeah.
That's where we automatically go. So that thing that you felt when we even talked about talking about our kids, that's emotion. Those are the times when we need to go ahead and just close this and take those 6 minutes, go get a cup of coffee. Take those 6 minutes, go to the bathroom. Don't take those six minutes,
call your mom. Mom?
No.
He is an idiot, just like you said. He is. I know, sweetheart, you need to get over here right now because I told you he's a moron. That's why I was crying at the wedding. He reminds me of your dad. It is so him. See, that's not the time to do that. That's the time because mom, how many of y'all know this from experience? Mom's not going to forgive him like God will. Now Thanksgiving, you want him to go over there, and mom's like, I should have bust a cap in you. But then she might be smiling at him. Oh, you're so awesome. So we don't want to bring the family into that because the Bible said leave and cleave. It says when you get married that a man should leave his father and his mother and he should be joined to his husband or his wife. So this thing, this communication thing, has to start at home with each other because it will affect sex. Now, some of y'all are really going to get uncomfortable right now. I want to tell you that sex shouldn't be taught in school. That's not where your kids, you don't want to learn about that. You don't want an NBA player teaching your kid about sex. I mean, they got to go through 400. I slept with 457 women before. Why? You don't know anything about sex. God created sex. In fact, it's the only time many of you even say his name. This thing is a phenomenal experience that when anointed by God is great. But sex is cut off when she gets hurt.
Well, and sex is so much a part of God's plan for our life that there is an entire book in the Bible written about sex. The Song of Solomon is all about sex, and it is so graphic. It is a biblical 50 Shades of Grey. That the Jewish boys, they're not even allowed to read this book of the Bible until they're old enough to go through their bar mitzvah. Because it talks about these things like, you should be satisfied with the wife of your youth. And in Proverbs 5, then it says, and you should be satisfied with her breasts, and you should run upon them. And I'm like, what? Okay, wait a minute, God. Here's the deal if you're a woman. I'm thinking, okay, he's supposed to be satisfied with the wife of his youth. The wife of his youth 18 years ago, if he wants to be satisfied with my breasts, they were in one place then and they're in another place now. So I'm going to have to lift them back up and put them back where they were when I was young somehow because they're not in the same place and all this smooth skin now looks like golf balls and has hail damage. So as women, when it comes to getting naked, everybody say naked.
Naked.
Adam and Eve were naked. They started out good and it was pure in the garden. But when we get naked, our pride gets in the way because we think, I don't look pretty. I don't look like those girls on the magazine covers. I mean, they're just pretty and skinny. No, they ain't. They're photoshopped and they don't eat food. They are not normal. But Victoria's Secret was not created for single people. Victoria's Secret was created for married people because we know the secret.
Come on, guys. Somebody ought to amen this woman right now. But notice it's her insecurity. She's talking about this stretch marks, talking about this. Here's how you communicate to your woman. Because you're going to want to see somebody naked. Why not have it the person that God said in a holy matrimony, this is where it's going to happen. Because it shouldn't happen on a porn site. It shouldn't happen in some either way. It's happening here. So what you do is you communicate to her how beautiful she is. So say, oh man, you know, he was going to want this really skinny girl. No. You let her know, I don't want a woman I can't grab. I want a woman I can hold. I like those aren't stretch marks. Those are beauty marks for the two beautiful kids that you have. You're talking her pants off right now. These are the kids that you give. I have a campus pastor because of those. Somebody ought to help me. I have a daughter that can sing like Adele because of that. Now she's feeling secure. You got the lights on. Bow chicka wow wow. But you build that girl up. Now, we know how to communicate when we're dating. You're looking up songs. You're writing out poems. So now we have technology. You can tell Suri, Suri, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, remind me to tell Nicole how good looking she is. Boom.
Here's your reminder for today at 4 p.m.
Okay, today. I'll do it today. Yes. Confirm. Sounds good. So what I will do is I'll take notice because somebody's going to notice her. Somebody's going to tell her, girl, she's going to feel sexy. She's going to feel attractive. I don't want that to be Bob the construction worker walking down the road. I want that to be me. Mm-hmm. So I might just sneak a picture so I can remember Girl, yesterday when you had on those boots with those leggings, you were the hottest 42 year looking old woman I've ever seen in my life, girl. You got it going on. Now she's like, he noticed me. But most of the time, we don't pay attention to the person that we're supposed to communicate properly with. Therefore, the love is gone. No, the love's not gone. You love them, you just don't like them. The reason you don't like them is because of that wall that the enemy has built. And we're here today on television and at Faith Church to tell you this is the kind of stuff we teach every week. Not a bunch of historicity of the church. And I mean, it's great to talk about pre-trib, millennial reign. That's all nice. But I think people need to know how to live and prosper and be in health and get along so our divorce rate changes.
Right. Well, and let me tell you the secret to me wanting to sex my husband up anytime he wants it. Amen.
She's so excited.
Yeah.
That one lady's like, yeah, come on, tell me. Tell me that.
Well, it's Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. My husband is good at that when we are at the mall. My husband is good at that, reminding himself on Surrey. And you know what? That's authentic. You might be thinking right now, well, if you have to program yourself and set a reminder to tell me that you love me, that's not authentic. Sweetie, that is so far beyond authentic. He is going outside his comfort zone to do things that he doesn't think of normally to try and make you happy. Baby, that is way better than authentic.
Bam. Say that.
But if men love their wives, like Christ loves the church outside of the bedroom, men love their wives inside the bedroom as Christ loves the church, that means putting your wife first. I'll tell you what, there is no problem in our sexual relationship because he has so much interest in what is going on with me. I want to make sure that he has what he needs all the time because it's fun for the girls. And when it is fun for the girls, it's fun for the guys whenever they want it to be.
Again, quiet. Let me explain, because make sure you understand. Make sure you're picking up
what we're putting down.
What she be putting down right now. That means if it's all about you, now this is going to freak you out because it's church. It's a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Just love them and leave them. No, 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 no. Sex, first of all, Mr. Miyagi, in mind. Sex in mind way before sex in bed. So it's a mind game. It's called foreplay. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there investing in the relationship, both male and female, prior to getting there. Instead of upsetting each other, walk in love with each other, then the wall's not there.
Right.
Then secondly, make sure that if you love her, then you take care of her first. You meet her needs first, and you have this thing called communication again.
Right.
That drives me crazy when you do that. I don't like that. You might be doing it wrong. You need to communicate, not in the middle of what's going on, but in a calm way later, make yourself like, hey, can we talk about that?
Right.
When it's calm and there's no emotion involved.
And that's why it's important to practice communication skills all the time, because it's really scary to talk about things when you're naked because we feel vulnerable anyway. It feels scary to say things like, I want, I need, I like, but it's that kind of communication. So why are we talking about this at all, Pastor Nicole? It is uncomfortable in a room full of mixed company. We're talking about this because we love you so much. We don't want to see you go through the pain of a divorce like we have. It hurts, and it hurts bad. So if we can talk to you really honestly to the point where we're a little bit embarrassed and you're a little bit embarrassed, but it keeps you from hurting like that, we are willing to embarrass ourselves because we love you that much.
Yeah, if you think you're uncomfortable. But really, we shouldn't be, because God created it. And again, it's in the mind, it's communication. Now let's talk about being hurt. Hurt people hurt people. Okay, Bob screwed up, okay? It happens. Jenny screwed up. It happens. What do you do? I just can never forgive him. The worst thing you can do is cut that off right now. The best thing you can do is admit it, quit it, forget it, and then put God the center. None of this is going to work if you don't put God in the center. People, every once in a while go to church, you're going to have a jacked up life. Every once in a while you put God as a priority in your finances, you're always going to be broke. I mean, it's just a fact. Things work better with God. You tried it before without God. Well, how'd that work for you? It doesn't work. So putting God in the mix of it and saying, look here, I'm going to get in a good Bible-believing church that teaches the nitty-gritty just like this so that I can apply it, not just for me, but for my kids. Our kids are really being confused right now about their sexuality because there's so many voices and so many things are coming into them, and we have to say no. This morning on the way to church, we were driving, and the guy who drives us, he came and got us, and our daughter's in the back, and she always says, hey, Dad, can I DJ? yeah, cool. We get the little card, you know, or a little cord. It goes back in the song. She's like, oh, this is really cool. It's a new song by Paul McCartney and this guy. The first line was something like, you know, I'm going to get drunk, basically, and go out so I don't have these feelings. And I go, hey, no. I'm offended by that song, Ashley. What? I don't want you to listen to that. She's programming her mind. I'm going to have troubles in relationships, so therefore I'm going to have a lot of pain in my future, so I'm going to cover this up through this alcohol. Listen, alcohol, if you're an alcoholic, it's horrible, and I believe that God can deliver you, but most of the time it's because we're covering up the pain. So I want to teach my kids, and I want you to teach your kids by going to a Bible-believing church, that it's not okay to sit here and listen to all those things that the world listens to, because we shouldn't be living the way they're living, because God set us free. He seated us in heavenly places. He's got a plan for our life of wholeness, health, not only physically, but sexually. So therefore, also, we pour into that girl, too. I don't want Nicole's daughter, my daughter, her daughter, looking for love in all the right places. We tell her wrong places. We tell her, you're beautiful, you're qualified, you're anointed. You don't need to go with them, because we want her significance to come from us, not them. How many of y'all would be happy not to have daddy issues the rest of your life?
And, you know, there are so many marriages that are repaired marriages. Something went wrong with her. Something went wrong with him. Somebody strayed in the relationship. It is possible to forgive and forget. It is possible to have gone outside the marriage and then be faithful to the marriage again. So I just want to tell you right now, if you're in a relationship that has had a problem, it has had a break, you are right, because a lot of relationships have. And there are so many restored relationships. We serve a restoration God. We serve a God who can take a broken person and make them not just healed, but whole again. So if your marriage has been broken, you don't have to believe God for a healed marriage. You can believe God for a whole marriage. And I'm telling you right now, I've watched it time after time, hundreds of times, that God can do this in your life. But you have to be committed. Everybody say committed. We have to be committed to forgiveness. We have to be committed to faithfulness. We have to be committed to communication. We have to be committed to sex. There was a lady, I mean, gosh, it was probably 10 years ago, that she came to me and she told me, my husband, he's cheating on me. I found out about it. I want the marriage to work, but I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, sweetie, you just came to me with the easiest problem in the world. I know exactly what to do. How old's your husband? And he's like 48 or something. I said, awesome. Here's how you fix this. You have sex with him every morning before he leaves the house. He is 48 years old. His body only functions so well. If you keep him completely drained, he is not going to have any sexual energy to spend anywhere else in his life.
It worked. And that guy started coming to church. He sat on the front row, and they're still married today. Give it up for Nicole. Come on. That guy's like, I want to go to that church. He's buying the DVDs. The Bible said be doers of the word, honey. Not just hearers.
Well, and last thing I'm going to say about sex is this. Our friends wrote this book called Sexperiment. They're pastors of a church. They wrote a Christian book called Sexperiment. And the challenge of the book is this: to have sex every single day for 7 days. Yeah!
That guy's in his 20s. There's a 40-year-old guy going, no, God, no.
And the thing is that physical intimacy is that. Women want two things. We want to be safe. We want to know that we are safe in the confines of this relationship. And we want intimacy. We want that touch that doesn't necessarily mean sex. Right. Guys want two things. They want respect. They want us to honor them, because husbands are supposed to treat their wives like Christ treats the church. But in Ephesians 5, it also says, women, honor your husbands and submit to them. Give them respect, because God built that in them to be the head of the house. So we're supposed to respect them. They want respect and they want sex.
And a lot of times you just start cutting them down because you're like, man, that is stupid. Get what you brag on. You get what you brag on. So if Bob does something good, like a puppy, oh, good Bob. Good Bob. That's awesome, Bob. Look, Bob, he picked up his underwear, didn't throw him on the ceiling fan, and watch him fling around the room. He put him, good Bob. See what I'm saying? You train them. You train each other, and you know what ticks them off and what turns them on. And when you do that, going from relationship to relationship is not the answer. Deal with the person that you've got now, because I promise you, whoever you go to next is going to have all the same issues. They might mask it better for a while, but everybody's got the same emotions and insecurities that cause the marriages to fail.
Well, and one of the things that can get in the way of sex is money. As soon as you start fighting, not communicating well about money, because money gets tight, because we think things like in pride, we think, I got to have my curtains. I mean, he bought that stupid, those stupid boots for hunting. His other boots were fine. I don't know why he bought those. So I'm going to go ahead and buy my curtains. So we're going to put them all on the credit card. And then the credit card bill comes and you bought your things. He bought his things. You didn't talk about it. It's because we wanted to make sure we got ours. So now we're fighting. Now the sex isn't happening. And a lot of times the root of all of this is money. Everybody say money, money, money. We're going to work for it on Monday. And the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. God created commerce. We give God a tithe. We give God our 10%. When we honor God with our money, God honors us with blessing. If we don't have that part right, the rest of it gets screwed up. Money's not bad. It's the love of money that is bad. It is the ego that comes in, the pride that comes in of the me first that is bad. And so communicating about money is super important.
Absolutely. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you did today at Faith Church and how you brought into light that which was in the dark. You've given us power today, Lord, to prosper and be in health. I pray for every person watching online, watching on television in St. Louis and Palm Beach, God, that they get out here to Faith Church, that they teach themselves and their family and their children's children the right way in which they should walk. And God, I pray for restoration and wholeness. Every person that's married that's struggling, God, and they don't really like each other right now, heal it, Lord. Every single person who's listening, who looking for the right person, help them to be the right person first. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. People can